Mountain West Conference title game goes down tomorrow. Interesting. The teams played last week. This is a weird quirk in the schedule. Fresno and Boise are going at it and helping us out with a preview. She'll be on the sidelines for the game. Is Molly McGrath from ESPN. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm here in Boise getting ready for the game. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
What do you do to get ready in crazy Boise?
Let's see. It's wild here. I mean, the food is really good. Our crew is really big on food. So we've gone out to a fun dinner last night, lots of good potatoes. But most importantly, it's preparing for the weather. I know that, you know, Bulldog fans aren't happy about the fact that Fresno State won the head-to-head last week. And now they're going to Boise to play the title game. That was kind of like a little a glitch in the system, if you will. They had to use a compilation of computer rankings in order to find out which team would host this game. It was in Boise State's favor. So this game is going to be in the cold and wet weather of Idaho. It's supposed to be in the low 30s. It's supposed to rain. So that's definitely going to be a factor in this game. And I'm going to be bundled up on the sidelines.
How much has Fresno talked about having to win in back-to-back weeks? Or does last week not mean much? I don't know. I wonder what the motivation was on the side of Boise last week.
It's a completely different week for them, yeah. Right? Last week's game ended the season. Obviously, the things that Jeff Tedford has done at Fresno State has been amazing, going from 1-11 last year to completely turning around this program. That +8 win differential is the best in FBS. So they're already winners. I think they're just happy to continue to be playing. They're happy that they're going to be going to a bowl game. So they ended their season on the right note, and now this is a completely different deal. They're going to a title game. I think they're thrilled to be in this position, especially so early in Jeff Tedford's tenure at Fresno State. And Boise State, it's interesting. Brian Harsin said something really cool today. We met with him and all the coaching staff for the Broncos. He said, we're not viewing this like it's a separate game because we lost. We're viewing this like it's an 8-quarter game. This is a really long halftime. We're down, and we need to come back out there, and we need to win this game. And he said that was something really tangible for his players to hold on to and just, you know, kind of go into the game tomorrow thinking, okay, we need to close this one out. We need to close out the season on a successful note. We need to win this conference title.
I bet you that he's actually happy that they lost the game. He'll never say that publicly, but if there was any chance of overlooking Fresno, that disappeared last week.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, that was a game that they could lose, right? They had won 7 straight, and they were already guaranteed to go into the conference title game, and now they're taking Fresno State seriously. And this is a team that has, you know, one of the best newcomers in the Mountain West in their quarterback, Marcus McMarion. He is fantastic. Their offensive line is established. They don't allow sacks. I think they've allowed 1 sack in the last 4 games. You know, so Boise State is preparing for a really good team. I don't think they ever underestimated them, but I think they realize after last week how strong they really are.
Do you feel like... maybe I haven't been there long enough to get the vibe. You know, obviously, UNLV here in Vegas is also in the Mountain West Conference, so we follow this stuff pretty closely. I feel like there's a little pressure here on Harsin because Boise is such a good program. The fact that they haven't been involved in the mix the last couple of years for the conference title, the guys won a lot of games, but I wonder around Boise if they're like, bro, we expect winning the conference, not just having good seasons. You need to win the conference. So I wonder if Boise's feeling, or in particular, Harsin is feeling a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely feeling some pressure early on in the season when they started the year at 2-2, because the standard of excellence is higher at Boise State. It's the kind of program that it feels like a Power 5 program when you go into their facilities and when you go into that blue turf and the fan base is pretty solid. It's something where you feel like you're with a Power 5 team. And I covered UCF last week, so I was talking to Scott Frost just about the ceiling and how low the ceiling feels for Group of 5 teams, especially with the new college football playoff. The fact that UCF is undefeated and there's essentially no chance of them getting into the playoff, right? Their biggest hopes can be for a New Year's 6 bowl. And, you know, Scott Frost said, we're UCF. This is a newer program. We're new in terms of the national spotlight. If we were a Boise State, it would be easier because Boise State is the standard of excellence for Group of Five schools. It's the school that all other Group of Five schools look at and aspire towards. And obviously that was with the success and the foundation that Chris Peterson laid down. And then, you know, they did win the Mountain West Championship back in 2014, and it was against Fresno State, of all things. So I think there are really high expectations, and Brian Harsin definitely feels that, and I think that that's what they're looking to this game to be, an opportunity to bring Boise State back into that national conversation.
Molly McGrath from ESPN is in Boise for the Mountain West Conference title championship game. 7:45 Eastern start. Who cares? It's 4:45 here in Las Vegas. So you mentioned Central Florida. Who is the best team that you've been on the sideline to witness this year?
Oh, my goodness. I've witnessed some really good teams this year.
Yeah. Who's the best?
Who's the best? Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm looking back at some of the games that were just so dynamic. Like, we saw Washington State take down USC. Obviously, their season hasn't gone as promised, but that UCF-USF game was probably the most exciting game that I've covered. Just the amount of yards amassed and the things that Scott Frost has done with that program, top to bottom. The way that his players talk about him, even, is really impressive. You know, I talked with their quarterback, Mackenzie Milton, and he said that they view Scott Frost as a father and a brother figure, right? So they see him as a peer because he's the kind of guy who's going to jump in for the scout team when they're preparing for the triple option because he knows how to do that and he's still in shape and able to do stuff like that. So I was really taken aback and happily, pleasantly surprised by the respect and the feelings in the in the atmosphere at UCF. I thought that really made an impact on me of all the teams I've seen.
In talking to people around Orlando, do they feel like he's going to stay around, or what was the vibe you got? Does he go to Nebraska? Now Florida State's open. I mean, he's obviously a candidate for every job out there that's still available.
I know. I'm not sure. You know, the team is pretty tight-lipped. You can tell he's a smart guy. He controls the message within his program, right? So his players aren't going to say anything that he doesn't want them to say. I think he's an honest guy with his players. That's why they have so much respect for him. After the game, I was next to the locker room, you know, waiting to talk to their sports information director, and the team gave him a signed helmet. And that seems like a goodbye gift, right? Like a signed helmet, thanks for the time here. I saw that as kind of like a weird omen, but who knows? I don't want to take that out of context. It could have just been because that was, you know, the rivalry game and the end of the regular season. But I wouldn't be surprised if after the game tomorrow I see them winning that game against Memphis. I wouldn't be surprised if he started to look elsewhere. But, I mean, he didn't want the Florida job, right?
Right.
And the Nebraska job isn't as it's not as attractive as it once was. So I think that's something that's going to be factored in. I could see him staying for one more year.
Really?
Because their quarterback is young. I think he's a sophomore. They're going to be returning all these same guys. They could – I think he's really adamant. He wants to kind of break that glass ceiling that's above them as a Group of Five school.
Wow.
I think he wants to elevate above that. I was talking with him privately about that. He was really frustrated about the whole playoff system. I think he wants to see this program achieve more. So if he does stay for another year, which I would not be surprised – I think it would be to do that, and the fact that they do have a lot of young talent. And if he did that, it would obviously be because all the other jobs that he wanted aren't open. But I could see Florida State being a good fit for him as well. So who knows? I think that we'll find out after the conference championship game tomorrow.
If he stayed at Central Florida and turned down Nebraska, what a wake-up call for Husker Nation. One of their own says, you know what, I'll stay actually outside the Power Five to stay at UCF. Can I let me get your take on, I don't know how much you've had a chance to follow because I know you were traveling to get to Boise, but just your general take on what has happened at Tennessee and today. John Curry, the AD, goes bye-bye, and now Philip Fulmer is the guy, and this has been about as bad as it gets at a Power 5 school trying to get a coach to take the job.
It's a dumpster fire there.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy what's going on there. I mean, early on in the week, just watching the developments throughout the week has been like watching a soap opera, right? Because the whole Greg Schiano situation, that was disappointing, and it showed the the impact that the fan base has on the hiring situation, which I think is a problem, right? You can't have, and I'm not saying the fans are crazy and that they're terrible fans, but in that sense, you have to have control. You can't have the inmates running the asylum. You know, that's what I was thinking when all of that started to happen. It's just been absolutely ridiculous. And are Tennessee fans going to be happy with anything? I mean, there's talks of Mike Leach, but Mike Leach comes with his own taboos, and he's a quirky dude. Are they going to be happy with him there? I don't know. So, and the whole situation with the athletic director, right now I feel like Tennessee has completely ruined their chances of getting a really quality coach. Like, who's going to want to work there and walk into that situation? I don't know any coaches that would willingly do that. We'll see what happens. I hope it all works out for the best, but they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot every single day here.
You went to Boston College, right?
I did, yes.
It's, you know, I'm from the Northeast. I'm from New Jersey, so I went to Rutgers. It's just, it's different. I'm a lot older than you, but it's different. You know, you learn when you cover college sports and you go to these different regions of the country, especially SEC. Like, the fans are, I mean, I know you said earlier you don't want to call them crazy, but the fervor is just, it rises to kind of a sick level. It's not, you know, college sports are big in the Northeast, but not like this. This is, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I'm from California, so all of our fans are super chill, maybe to a fault. And then I moved to Boston for school, and I think Boston's fervor and their fandom is crazy when it comes to their professional sports. So you're going to see wackos out at the Celtics games and the Patriots games and the Bruins games, and I say that with the most affection possible. I used to work for the Celtics, so I experienced that firsthand. But I was so taken aback by how seriously these people take this. And honestly, that's what made me want to work in sports. This affects this person's day. There's a blizzard going on, and people are coming in droves to this Celtics game, this Celtics preseason game, even though, you know, the weather is terrible. These people really love this. So there's something to be said. That's what makes college sports so special, you know, especially fans in the SEC.
Yeah.
They live and breathe and die by their team. That's what we love. That's why we love college sports, and that's why the product of college football is stronger than the NFL right now. It's that passion and, you know, the emotions behind all of it.
Yeah, that's a good comeback, actually. When I'm like, oh, the college football fans are crazy, and you're like, yeah, Boston, New York, and Philly, they have the same fans on the pro side. So let's not be throwing stones at the college football fans in the South.
So true.
Hey, Molly, we appreciate it. We'll watch for you on the sideline tomorrow. Enjoy the game and try to stay warm in Boise.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go. Molly McGrath, nice enough to join us, Southern reporter with ESPN, and she'll be calling the Mountain West Conference title game, Boise taking on Fresno.